that. So much when I get one thing really right, boy, something else goes creepy. He's worked on me all evening. I'm glad he may win a few battles, but brother, we're going to win the war. Ain't you glad of that? We will win the war. Our captain done conquered him. He's the victor. He promised us victory. And the reason we know, we turned over and see a little bit and read the last chapter of the book and found out how it all turns out. And brother, we know that the saints will come out on top. So, have your Bibles tonight. Open the book of Isaiah chapter 5. And I want you to settle down now to get ready to preach. You should listen, pay attention. Get your Bibles open and read this with us. Don't be cutting up and talking during the preaching. Isaiah chapter 5. I told you this morning, we're going to try to bring the message tonight on what is wrong with doing right. What is wrong with doing right? It's going to be a message tonight that ain't wouldn't fit too well with the situation the world's in today. Wouldn't fit very well at all. And because of having all the world rubbed off on you, it may not fit very good with some of you here. But we're going to read you a verse of scripture here, and this verse has been on my heart for several months now. I wrote it down the car going down the road, or the thought of it anyway, and then the rest of the talk began to come as time went on, and I felt definitely like we should bring it out here this day tonight, and I believe it'll be a help to you. Christian needs to know the truth. Truth's what'll make you free. Can't be free without it. So look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Someone next to you don't have a Bible, you might want to share yours with us. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe! Now, if you want to know why them prophets was in such trouble all the time, why they got thrown down in well, and the head cut off, and dragged through the street, and tortured, all you got to do is look that first word by woe. You go to your concordance, and you look at how many times that word woe is in the Bible, and about 95% of those woes are in the prophets. Every time they open their mouth, it was woe to this, and woe to that, and woe to the other. And brother, that's why they wasn't too popular with their generation. Because of that word, there's always pronouncing woe. Woe. And Isaiah, through the power of the Holy Ghost, said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Read that verse again. Woe to them and to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Read that one verse tonight and bring you the message. What is wrong is doing right. Let's bow our heads, bow our prayers. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege coming to you in prayer. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our help. Thank you for our strength. Thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for all the many good things that you've done for us. We thank you, our Father, for another time that we can stand behind this sacred death, this side of eternity, and proclaim the precious, infallible, inspired, and ever eternal word of the living God. We're so glad tonight, Father, that you've called us and given us this opportunity to do it. Our Father, tonight we pray that you'd clear out our minds, our hearts, from any thought, any action, any attitude that be not like a child of God should be, that we may have clearness of thinking and clearness of thought, that we may preach the word of God without fear, without favor, without compromise, and stand in the truth. Lord, we thank you tonight for thy word. Thy word is true. And God, we know it's forever settled in heaven. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to see the truth of this thing tonight.
Help us, Lord, to be in step with the Word of God, out of step in this generation. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do for us. Help that Christian that's bound up in the things of the world and sin, Lord. Set them free tonight. Open their eyes, Lord, that they might behold the Word of the Lord and the things of God. And get the priorities straight. Put first things first. And do what you'd have to do in this life. And we'll praise you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Do what needs to be done in this service. Amen, amen. All right. I want to try to bring you this message tonight and do ask that you pray for it. As a preacher, every once in a while, I'm approached by some well-meaning soul that comes to me and asks me, "Preacher, what is wrong with this?" And they'll name something that they want to do. And then somebody else comes along and they'll say, "Preacher, what is wrong with that? Or is it wrong to do this? Or is it wrong to do that?" And we're not here to discuss those things tonight, but the shoe's going to be on the other foot tonight. Instead of you asking me what's wrong with this or what's wrong with that, I'm going to ask the question, what is wrong with doing right? What is wrong with just doing right? These days you'd think it was wrong to do right. And right to do wrong, as we'll prove to you in just a moment. So this message tonight will be in the form of a question. What is wrong with doing right? You have lived to see the day when you are criticized for doing right and glamorized and praised for doing wrong. Right has become wrong and wrong has become right. Our forefathers would have never dreamed it, but we have lived to see that day. And if we stay here another 20 years, they'll put people that believe, like you and I believe, if things keep going the way they're going, some of us may wind up in a mental ward somewhere for just believing that sin is sin, and wrong is wrong, and there is such thing as right and wrong. That's the direction this world's headed for 90 miles an hour tonight. Now, if you don't believe it, you look at things that's going on in the world. You know that the most popular television program for kids on TV tonight is praising and glamorizing a bunch of fornicating, law-breaking bootleggers and making idiots and fools out of the police and the law and the establishment. But we're just getting started. And so tonight I intend to prove, by the help of the Lord, that we've come to the place where wrong is right and right is wrong. Now you remember, if I die before the Lord comes, and y'all got anything, many things to remember me by, you just remember me telling you this over and over and over again. You can always tell when the devil's in control, because the devil makes things run backwards. His plan and his job is to make it run backwards and opposite from the way God intended for it to run. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and intended for them to obey him. But what did the devil do? He told them to disobey him. You know what God said to you, husband? He said, husband, love your wife. You know what the devil will tell you when the devil gets you? Don't love your wife. The devil, when God tells you wives, love your husband. Be faithful to your husband. Reverence your husband. I said something wrong, y'all. The Bible don't say for a wife to love her husband. It says for to reverence your husband. Y'all always remember that. You reverence him. He does his job. You'll love him, all right. But then the Lord don't say that necessarily to anybody to get them to do wrong, but to get them to do right. Now the devil, when he gets in a girl, he'll say, don't love your husband. Love somebody else's husband. That's a sure sign of the devil. The devil's job is to make you act opposite from what God intended for you to act. I know when the devil's getting in me. I can tell it. I start saying things I shouldn't say. I start saying things I shouldn't say. Hey, I start not doing things I should do. Acting opposite from the way God wants me to act. I know when the devil's taking over old man. And devil, his job and his plan is to make things run backwards. Now the devil has almost got it succeeded in his plan tonight of making evil good and good evil. The devil has almost got his the big joke pulled off on his society by making wrong right and right wrong. I want to prove it to you by the help of the Lord. I'm starting way out yonder, and I'm going to work back to right here in this church. I'm going to give you some examples of how we're seeing today how that right is wrong and wrong is right. Did you know today, these days, the hero is the criminal. The celebrity is the bum. That's the generation we're living in. You take a bum like Elvis Presley or John Lennon, nothing but a bum. Now, I know some of you old ladies don't like that, but you, all you got to do, if you don't like to hear the truth, you can never walk in this church to start with. What good's a preacher that won't tell you the truth? He ain't no count. You say, well, Hank, I believe you're judging. No, I'm just giving you the fact. A man that has him and his woman that he's lived with for a while, stays naked in the bed in Amsterdam and puts it on the front cover of an album and makes all kind of junk like that, according to Moles and Bible Moles, there's nothing but a bum, folks. I don't care how good it's insane, but we have made heroes out of those people. You know, I used to love to hear the Beatles sing. When I was growing up, man, I thought they could sing. And they can sing. They're piling bunch. Absolutely no doubt about it whatsoever. And a lot of times I'll be going down the road and one of my Beatles songs will come on, and man, something will spark inside of me. And some say, boy, that sounds good, don't it, Danny? And I say, yeah, it sure does. But then I start thinking. And I start thinking about the things that I've read about how those four boys were used by the hand of Satan himself to destroy millions upon millions of young people and cause young girls to lose their virtues and get pregnant before they ever made it to a marriage altar. And the Beatles themselves confess they had orgies and dope sessions on all their concerts. And I start thinking, I sure I didn't want to hear that junk. I'd rather hear a bunch of dogs bark. I'd rather hear birds because of the sin that's in God. I don't care how good they be saved. It's not right to make heroes out of bums like that. This ain't popular, but you just wait till the Lord comes and see if it ain't right. Just wait. Just wait. I'm here to tell you tonight, we have glamorized the bums and brought down. Can't a man that stands for the truth and preaches the word of God better. He talks about out of dogs and treated out dirt in the world tonight. And some old bum that's out to destroy our youth and take our virtue from our daughters and send our sons to prison. Better than make a hero out of anybody like that. You know that it's right. You know they made a hero out of Charles Manson. He absolutely became a movie star. You know why he became a movie star? Because he, by the power of the devil, led a group of people around, a bunch of commune, a bunch of hippies living together, and took that same paint and those other folks and took blood and rock claws and old junk and that blood and wrote pigs and all kinds of profanity all over the wall in Beverly Hills. You know what that got him? That got him a book. That got him multitudes of interviews and made a best-selling hit movie out of his holy shoulder and a book. And today, the name of Charles Manson and another little kid is nearly idolized because he's well-known and famous. I think it ought to be against the law for anybody that commits crime and to make a hero out of it. They're putting that bunch up in front of our young people like these days, like in famous speech the president. If you want to do something wrong, get your name in the headlines. Be somebody. Maybe we've seen the day come when they glamorize things. Hey, you know how some soap operas are so popular? Now just hold your horses here just a second. Put in neutral. We're going to pull over here and talk just a second. You know how some soap operas are so popular? I'll tell you why. but glamorize sin. Can you imagine how boring a soap opera would be if everybody on there was faithful to their husbands and wives? Nobody would watch it. Who would want to watch a show like that? Have you ever seen one?
I bet you ain't.
There's never been a soap opera on television to where people stayed faithful to each other. You know why? People don't want to watch it. Who wants to see that, man? I want to see a little action. I want to see a little hanky-panky. We want to see who's going with who, and who lost who, and who's dating who, and who's in the bed with who, and all of that stuff. That's why they're so popular. You ladies, you can try to get out of it and excuse it till you're blue in the face. If you can't sit there and fill your mind with that stuff day after day after day without it having a bad effect on you. You can't do it. I don't care how many times you lie and say you can't help it. You cannot help it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You say, well, I just got my little two or three little guilty. I found out how to call them soap operas. Finally figured that out. Brother, it takes every bit of soap in this world to clean that mess up. And that still couldn't do it. It'd take the blood of Jesus to really clean it. You know what? Soap operas are saying, you want the message is to you guys while you're sitting at home? There ain't no such thing. There ain't no such thing. There ain't no such thing as a happy marriage where both partners are faithful to each other. There ain't no such thing. It can't be done. There ain't no such thing. It can't be done. The devil's talking that in your head constantly, and they're telling you that an affair once in a while will good for your marriage. It's hurtful for your marriage, and it can weaken your marriage. I want to say tonight, my dear friends, it can be done. It can be done. It can be done. Wrong is never right. It can be done. I heard Brother Ralph Sexton Senior say, probably we've been married for about 40, 50 years, a long time, brother. He said it's sweeter now than it ever has been. You know why? It is possible for you to love your wife and be faithful to her. It's possible for you to love your husband and be faithful to him if you'd ask God to help you and do what you know you're supposed to do and put your bed in. I know a lot of you ain't liking that. It's the truth. I'm giving you some examples. Do you know nowadays that it's wrong for you to be right? Did you know nowadays if a man comes breaking into your house in certain states and under certain conditions, if he's going to break into your house and rape your wife and beat up your kids and rob you, that you can shoot him in self-defense, you know who's going to get in trouble? You are. Well, how are you in the court, brother, and you're not getting sued? Now, he's got that thing around a little backwards, all right?
Amen.
I mean, he's the one breaking the law. He's the one trespassing. He's the one going where he has no business going. And yet, if you sued him for breaking your house, God, get you in jail for it's over with. Happens all the time. Right become wrong, wrong become right. Now you say, what should you do in a case like that? Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Lord don't want you to step there like a little dummy and let somebody come in and break in your house and rob you and take your kids and your wife and everything away from you. You say, what should be? I ain't telling you what you should do, but I don't know. Well, I'd kind of worry about a man that just stepped there and let somebody do that. I may be worried, but I don't care how big it was, I wouldn't let somebody do that. I wouldn't. I'll tell you what, brother. I don't want to fight. I'm scared to fight. But if it really come right down to it, and I ain't come in my house, come to mess with my wife, and my little girl, brother, you don't think I'd claw his friend in 2 seconds. Just like that, I'd be out of here. I don't want to, and I hope I never have to prove it, but brother, I'll be out of here. I'd probably have to go to court for it. I ain't got no guns. I did, I'm not blowing his head off. Don't be scared. Nobody ain't gonna hear you say amen. Your home is your fortress and your castle, and God expects you to defend your home. The Bible said if a man don't provide for them of his own household, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. You're supposed to protect your family. The king of the sheep, he better stay with my wife and baby. I turn his other sheep, brother. I turn his sheep upside down. But get in trouble for that these days. Man gets caught for drugs, selling drugs, and instead of putting him in prison, you know what they do? Send him to a program. And they educate him in this program, say, now what, he needs him a good business. And give him about $2,000 worth of tools and a brand new truck to ride around in. Get him a business started up. He and sex time don't pay, man. It does these days. All you have to do is you want to bring a new partner in, go out and get you some pot and go out and sell it. And sell it to a bunch of kids. You get your brand new pot and get you some tools. So how are you both around this and hit somebody over the head with a sledgehammer or a crowbar? You know what, folks? We're living in a day when people, the reason they so much killing and murder and robbery going on, they know they can get by with it. They know they ain't going to be punished. They know they might wind up in prison for about 2 years. But if they do, my goodness, all they got to do is behave themselves when they get a woman to get the visit them 2 or 3 times a week and let them on top of that shit and keep cool in high condition. That ain't so bad. Come to see the day. Right to be young. Day. Homosexuals and get on radio and TV and say that it's all right for them to be that way. But you can't get on TV and say that it's wrong for them to be that way. Can't do it. You get thrown off. Y'all listening to what I'm saying? I'm not up here to entertain you. This ain't supposed to be a mess. This is a mess. They get on television and say it's all right, but you can't get on TV and say it's wrong. Can't do it. James Robinson got kicked off television down in Texas for it. And you get on in here and look, there's a preacher down there in Charlotte. I think he's in, I don't know if his program was in Charlotte, but he lived down there. That had a TV program, and he preached against certain things like that. And you know what they done? They gave him the other side, the people that he was preaching against, I think the homosexuals. That preacher's time the next Sunday to retaliate. He didn't have to pay for it. In other words, I get on our radio program and I say it's wrong to be a homosexual. Somebody can call in and drop the brain. They'll say, now, Brother Danny Castle, since you said this, we're going to give your time freedom of speech, you know, in America. That is, if you're wrong. Freedom of speech. And we're going to let the homosexual take your radio spot next week. Well, you know what I'd say? I'd say, hold it just a second. I might not get nothing done. I'd say, if I have to pay for it, they're going to have to pay for it. And furthermore, they shouldn't get my time. Let them buy their own radio program and say anything they want to. I think if a man pays for his time on television, he ought to be able to say anything that he wants to say. That's freedom of speech. Not nowadays, brother. You can't do it. Oh, yeah. They can come out with one of their magazines making fun of Jerry Falwell and name it Repent House. They can do that and get by with it. But you put something against them, son, you'll wind up in court. It's wrong to do right, and it's right to do wrong. Devil's in control in this country. Jobs, civil rights, ERA, that's a tiny stuff. I will say something out here somebody may not like, but the reason you don't like it is because you don't understand. Pray the Lord open your eyes. I'm for civil rights. I'm for equal rights. 100%. You never looked at a man any less prejudiced against black people, against minorities, Philippines, Mexican, Spanish, or women than your life, and you're looking at, I never have been prejudiced. Even for that sake, I've never been prejudiced against that sake. What a heart! Sure, you're probably the only person that God's found it. Has white folks come by church regularly Sunday after Sunday? Well, I never have been prejudiced. You know what? I just about carried this civil rights business too far. These days, it's got to the place almost where a white man and a black man can force up to the place and get a job, and they automatically hire the black man instead of the white man. You know why? Because if they don't, somebody's going to holler discrimination. And it ought not to be that way. You know what I say? Hire the man that's best for the job, it don't matter if he's good. Amen. I don't care if he's perfect. The man that's best for the job deserves the job. What are you saying to that? Brother, you and my church, you're right these days, you get discriminated against all the time. Amen.
That is good.
That ain't
going
to be all right. Somebody else sitting there like, what's your birthday next? What's your birthday next? After all, they've been calling us pale face. My feelings are hurt. Amen. Somebody said, boy, I don't want to get in that church. There's going to be trouble up there for a long. No, the truth will set you free. Don't run your mouth about us being prejudiced, brother. Our boy sitting right here trouble. One more black soul's the Lord than anybody in McDonald's County. We're all of them put together. But I'm here to say, I believe it ought to be equal. Nobody's superior over anybody else. Everybody ought to have the same thing, the same life. We'll never see that day again in this world, the Lord coming straight with us. That's out in the world. Let's move it on into the church just a moment. Here's where it's getting quiet. Get quiet. Did you know that this spirit of wrong being right and right being wrong has crept into the church? Did you know nowadays that a preacher is criticized for telling the truth? A flat-out truth statement that can be proved and backed up with 10,000 facts, and a preacher is called a terrible preacher if he misses it. Ain't that a shame, brother? We are living in a time, even in the church, when it's wrong to tell the truth. I said here a while back that there was no such thing as a fat man in a red suit that flies through the air and comes down people's chin. There is absolutely no such thing as that. Now, if the thing is, brother, you tell me I'm service and I'll repent and ask the Lord to forgive me and everybody I've ever told you. But as far as I know, brother, and tell me what that Bible says, there ain't no such thing. Now that is a flat-out true statement, and I taught the Bible over that. That's the truth. I was criticized, I was killed and persecuted, and mocked and made fun of for making that statement. I said that to say this, brother. It's wrong to tell the truth, I reckon, these days. You say, hey, you're taking off on it. I'm for having fun, man. I had a ball at Christmas. Brother, we had fun. We had food. We had the family over. We gave gifts. Brother, we just lived it up. I had a wonderful time. But the truth is, that kid ever did it without having to tell one lie. But you know what? As one of the sisters here tonight told me that if somebody took that tape, you know, they've been listening to it and hearing what I said, and I was criticized, and somebody said we was a church and everything. I mean, you're in a court because you tell the truth. Brother, I'm here to tell you tonight that the truth is the truth, and you can deny it till hell freezes over, and there still won't be no such thing as suicide. I'm not picking out that little thing just to harp on it and run it in the ground. I'm just using that for an illustration. See? Don't get all upset and go hog wild and go crazy on me and go running out saying, I never heard such preaching in my life. Listen to the truth. This ain't truth for consequences. This is just the truth.
Now, situation ethics is a teaching that goes something like this. In certain situations, it's all right to do wrong. Now, you shouldn't kill anybody just to be out here killing them. But if it really come right down to it and you need to kill somebody, then it'd be all right if you'd kill them. It's wrong for you to go out and commit fornication, young people, normally. But if you find yourself in a situation where you're compelled and embarrassed and all that, well, then it's all right to go ahead. I want to say tonight that it is not right to do wrong ever. I want to say to you church members here tonight, it is not right to do wrong to do right. Did you get that? It is never right to do wrong in order to do right. See, I don't understand that. Let me explain it to you. Suppose I want to help a missionary. And I go over here to my neighbor's house, and while his back's turned, I grab his billfold, steal the money out of it, bring it to church and say, glory to God, I'm going to give that to the missionary. Now, you know what I've done? I did wrong just so I could do right. There's a lot of people believe like this. They say, well, as long as the end justifies the means. As long as you're going to do something good with it, it don't matter what you have to do to get it. But it is never right to do wrong in order to do right.
Amen.
It's always wrong to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong. It don't matter what you're going to do with the money. It don't matter if you're going to give it to a preacher or give it to the church. It's never right to do wrong. It's always wrong to do wrong. Here in the church here, not one time, we've had it happen several times. Sometimes when we have a church activity, I say something like, oh, and everybody be here at a certain time. And I say, all you ladies wear dresses. And some of our women absolutely took a dying duck fit when I said they had to wear a dress. Just went to pieces, man. Wear a dress! You'd think it was a terrible sin to wear a dress. Amen. It's a sin, sure as the world it's a sin. And they're raising up some of their daughters to think it's a mortal sin for them to put on a dress. Everything. Do we have to wear a dress? I just think. You'd think that you had asked them to commit a terrible sin. And I want to say, brother, that it's never wrong to do right. What's wrong with wearing a dress, girls? Y'all could have told me that. I know some of them's wrong. Some dresses are ungodly. Some of you wear ungodly ones about every Sunday. That's right. Show shapes of your body that you shouldn't be showing. It's ungodly. Tight clothes, pants, dress, don't matter what it is. Of course, I don't know, brother. Some of us men may have to answer the way we dress about as much as some of these women when we get to the judgment. I mean, I believe it's wrong for a woman, it's wrong for a man.
Amen.
Brother, I believe here tonight that, well, here's my question. I'm not preaching on those things. I'm preaching on what's wrong with doing right. Ain't no sin to wear a dress. I want to say tonight, it ain't no sin to go to church. Some people think it's a sin to go to church. Hear them tell it. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard that last Sunday some people didn't come to church because it was cold. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard that. I thought of all the crazy, ridiculous, underhanded, low-down, ungodly things I've ever heard in my life. That's the sorriest. didn't go to church because it was cold. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Now, evidently, some of you folks think that when it's 30 degrees, it's all right to come to church. But when it drops down to 20, it's all right on Sunday morning. But when it gets down below 15, then it's definitely wrong to come. I reckon that's the way some of y'all think. Now, I could understand that if we didn't have no heat in this building. But that beats the daylights out of me. How anybody could think, I just couldn't get out this morning. It was just too cold. Ain't that the pitiful place? Man, what would you do if the communists took over? What in the world would you do? What would you do? If we didn't have no heat in here, that'd make a little sense. But man, we have over $10,000 worth of heating equipment under my feet tonight to keep this place warm. There ain't nobody in this church got better heating equipment in your house than we got in this building here tonight. It would have cost a lot more than that, except
some good brothers put a lot of free labor into it and saved us thousands of dollars there. We can out heat anybody in here in this house as far as your home is.
Amen.
There ain't no sense. There ain't no sense in staying at home because it's cold.
Amen.
You say, well, what's wrong coming to church? You tell me. What's wrong with it? Man, I really caught down the road from having service Wednesday night. I mean, just caught it, boy. You ain't going to have church. It snowed. They must think I'm awful blind. I seen the snow. I made snow cream, brother. I slid down my driveway. I know it snowed. You know what gets me? I mean, I like I said this morning, you better take this right now. I don't want you to get out and have a wreck. And you ladies, if you're scared to drive on the ice and stuff, you just stay right at home. I don't want that. Here's what I'm preaching on. What's wrong with coming to church? I'm not blessing you out for not coming last Wednesday night, because no matter how hard you try, no matter how long you repent, you can't come last Wednesday night. It'd be useless for me to preach that.
Amen.
I'm not preaching on missing Wednesday night. I'm just asking you this. What's wrong with coming? What's wrong with it?
Amen.
I'll ask you the question. What's wrong with us coming to church?
Amen.
You know what gets me? Some of them women made it to work. Yeah, they made it to work. I talked some that walked to the factory. Walked them feet. Bet they didn't go to church Wednesday night. Heard one man say, going to the doctor is no excuse. If you're well enough to go to the doctor, you're well enough to come to church.
Amen.
Go after church, let's out.
Amen.
I'm preaching on this. You're saying, well, what's wrong with me going to work? Nothing. What's wrong with us coming to church?
Amen.
Amen. You'd think we done wrong. That's the truth. You'd think we done wrong. Oh, you are silly. Don't surely you wouldn't have church tonight. I ain't going to take my youngins out in this cold and you let them go out and ride sleds.
Amen.
Say, what's wrong with riding sleds? I ain't preaching on what's wrong with riding sleds. I'm preaching on what's wrong with coming to church.
Amen.
It's a wonder God didn't let every one of them get pneumonia. It's a wonder God didn't let some of you people out here get pneumonia for saying we're crazy for coming to church and you going out there and playing in it like a little kid for 2 and 3 hours at a time. You say, is it wrong for me to pray in the snow? No, but it ain't wrong for you to go to church in it neither.
Amen.
What's wrong with doing right? What's wrong with coming to church? What's wrong with coming to God's house?
Amen.
You say, don't you think a church should close when it snows? I'll answer that with a question. Do you think the hospital should close?
Amen.
Anybody in here think hospitals should close when it snows? Raise your hand. Anybody? Is there anybody in here that thinks the sheriff's department should close their doors and all of them go home when it snows? Raise your hand, please. Is there anybody in here that thinks the fire department should close their doors and not take any calls when it snows? I wish you'd raise your hand. I ain't nobody raised their hand yet. You know why? Because you think the sheriff's department, the fire department, and the store is more important than the church. I don't. I believe the church is more important than all of those.
Amen.
What if your house caught on fire Wednesday night and you said, "Fire, fire, come and put the fire out." And they said, "Ma'am, don't you know it snowed? Our fire department ain't open tonight."
Amen.
How would you feel? All right, brother. This place right here is a soul-saving station.
Amen.
Brother, souls are lost the same when it snows as they are when it don't snow.
Amen.
These some souls come here and need help, brother, when it snows just as bad as they do when it don't snow.
Amen.
And souls come for our help and need our help. And say, "Would you help me? I need to get to God." We can't say, "Well, it snowed, can't help you today." As a matter of fact, I would have never preached this strong tonight had not the Lord confirmed it. The last two years we've done that. The Lord showed us every time, nearly every time we do that, the Lord brings in a lost soul.
Amen.
And sometimes they get saved. Every time. Every time. Every time. What's wrong with coming to church, preacher? Nothing. What's wrong with going to the house of God, preacher? Nothing. You say, "Preacher, I'm scared." Well, you ought to stay at home, but don't run your mouth about somebody that does go. Right to go everywhere else. Boy, I can get out and go to that grocery store. Couldn't come to church. Some church, tell me they didn't go to church this morning or tonight because of the weather, and they'll be out tomorrow morning. I'll grant you, you'll see them out tomorrow morning. Just can't make it. Say, "Brother Danny, what would you do if you got snowed in and you couldn't get out of your driveway?" I tell you what I'd do. I'd call somebody out of four-wheel drive and say, "Come get me. I don't want to be late for church." And if I couldn't get somebody with a four-wheel drive, I'd try to make other arrangements. And if I just couldn't get out, I'd stay at home. And at 7 o'clock, I'd say, "Lord, bless the service up there tonight."
Amen.
The problem is you just think it's wrong. You just think it's wrong. I noticed the ball game down at Nebo last night was packed jam full. Little kids' games, you know. Little Johnny's got to be at that ball game. Wouldn't miss one of them if he's dying. 2 flakes of snow falls. "We better not go out tonight, honey. It's slick. Might not make it." Lord wants us to use good common sense. Ball game's full last night. Don't hit me. I've noticed that there are people, I mean, if little Susie is a cheerleader, they'll drag little Susie out in the middle of wintertime and take her to cheerleading practice 2 times a week. But you say the kids are going to meet up here and we're going to sing some songs, teach them about Jesus. Little Susie ain't nowhere to be found. She's got homework. I mean, when the Girl Scouts are having something, little Susie's there. But when you're having something at church for the kids, she's got homework. Every once in a while, somebody comes up to me and says, "Brother Danny, why don't you teach those kids some new songs? Have us a good youth choir." I'm fixing to tell you why.
Go ahead.
We've tried it, brother, 2 or 3 times, and you mothers too sorry to bring your kids out here to practice. You don't think it's important enough.
Go ahead, brother. Dig in.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Amen.
Before you talk about us singing the same old songs week after week, when you want us to learn them on Sunday morning when everybody's in here?
Amen.
Amen. What's wrong? We're doing right. Some of you men get a smile on your face. You're sitting back there looking at me like, "Danny, you're messing up. You're messing up." You just leave that up to the Lord, okay? I feel real good right now. Real good. Extra good. I want to ask you, what's wrong? What's wrong with being faithful to church?
Amen.
You say, well, don't. I tell you what, I don't care if my little girl gets her homework or not. I'd rather serve the Lord. I want her to get her homework. She better get her homework. But I tell you what, if it comes down to a decision, we're going to church or getting your homework, I'd say let the homework go. We'll tell our teacher we took her to the house of God. If they don't like that, they'll have to take it up with the Lord. All right. Tonight, you just remember one thing, folks. It's always right to do right.
Amen.
It's never right to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do right. Woe to them that call good evil and evil good.
Amen.
If they can open up a grocery store, we can open the house of God.
Amen.
If a gas station can give people gas, we can give people food. Amen. For their soul. So tonight, you always just take the message to heart and realize, don't miss church. If you can't find an excuse, I know a lot of people will make up one. Staying home from church. Some stay home because it's cold. Some because it's hot. Some because they're getting old. Some because they're not. Some stay home because their hat, the milliner, is not finished. And some because their liking for the preacher has diminished. Some declare they don't enjoy the singing of the choir. And others because their fellow saint aroused their wrathful ire. Alas, alas, our excuses grow to drive us our thoughts from God and turn us from the house of prayer, the place our fathers trod. Now, the Lord willing, the next time, when the Lord allows us to, if He does, I don't know, we may not. We'll have another definite message for our church. And it's really going to get rough then. And I hope God will give you an ear for the truth. Where you'll say, Lord, I'll make my plans to do right. I'm not saying go crazy. I'm not saying go silly. First time somebody wrecks on calling your way to church and stuff, don't blame it on me. I told you not to take no chances. I'm just saying don't criticize the ones that try to do right.
Amen.
What's wrong with doing right, preacher? Nothing. Nothing, nothing. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Tonight, while the pianist comes, Brother John comes and gets us a song. Tonight you may not have liked some of the things I said, but that's not the point. The point is you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to either accept it or reject it, give an account of it before the Lord one day. Have you been guilty of just hunting an excuse to lay out of church? Why don't you come and ask the Lord to forgive you tonight? Ask Him to help you to get in there head over heels. Not just look for the least little old reason to stay out. Don't be brainwashed by this society. Young girls, moms and dads, young housewives telling you that there's no way that you can be happy unless you've been around a little bit. Don't listen to that garbage. It's never right to do wrong. You'll never prosper by doing wrong. Tonight we're going to give a short invitation. If God spoke to your heart, you need to come to this altar for any reason. We'll let you come. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, take the message, use it for your glory, and we'll praise you. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Page 395.